Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He ruined the yes, sir. My God, he blew my ears out. Paul likes to mess with the volume. He got me this time. Right as I'm about to talk. Man, it just so happened I was raising the volume in my headset at that exact moment. You ruined the yes, sir. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a great weekend. I got to see Steve Sommers for the first time in like 3 years. He's doing great. He sounds great. Good to hear Steve back on the air. And he's talking Rangers hockey. We know why. The New York Rangers lead 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup Finals. That's right. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. You would think once was enough. And then he cuts it off abruptly. It's just the midnight ride's always off to such a good start. How we doing, everybody? Hope everybody had a great weekend. Like I said, we'll get used to the new number. Again, 888-808-1019. That's the number. You know the deal. I got you for 5 hours till we take it to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. And yes, the New York Rangers took game number 3. They're up 2-1 in what's left of the Garden Party. And it's still a bright future, this Garden Party. Now, you know what? I'm tired of apologizing. We're going to move right on. We're going to move on to game 4 tonight, 8 o'clock. Big time game. Take a dominant lead with a victory. All they really needed to do was take that split, and they did it with game 3. And I'm tired of apologizing. I'm tired of hearing, well, they got lucky to get that one. Oh, well, you know, I mean, they were thoroughly outplayed. It's a miracle they came out of that game with a win. Yeah, they were outplayed. But since when? Since when does a dominant goalie performance not count? Yes, we all know. What was it? Shots attempted 108-44 and all the other numbers. And I understand that in that third period, especially, they were absolutely dominated. The ice was tilted. We knew they were hanging on for dear life. But they have the best player in the series right now. The real difference maker in why the Rangers are up 2-1, and that's Igor Shesterkin, who was putting on a Brunson-like performance, who was absolutely unbelievable in that third period, and is the only reason they even got to overtime. But you know what it is about this New York Ranger team? Because I'm done apologizing for the idea. We had to hear all this crap throughout the Carolina series, too, about shots and how they're being outplayed and if it weren't for the power play and the goalie and this and that. You know what this Ranger team is? They're freaking resilient. And, yeah, they were outplayed for a lot of the stretch of this game and this series. Much, much more so than Carolina. Much more so. We get it. 5-on-5 has been a struggle. The penalty kill has not been nearly as good as it was in the previous series. They've given up a couple power play goals. Still getting shorthanded goals, amazingly enough. But this Ranger team continues to fight back. This Ranger team continues to get right back in your face. And while they might not have all the same scoring chances you have, and while they might not take all the same shot attempts as the Florida Panthers, this Ranger team makes the plays when it counts, and then when they get into overtime, this team understands what they're capable of, and this team, it knows that when the moments are its biggest, they know, especially the way when Igor's playing well and when Igor played the way he did in that third period, this Ranger team has a feeling like they are going to get it done. And sometimes that overcomes the amount of shots attempted. And sometimes that overcomes the way you've been playing 5-on-5. And sometimes that can overcome every aspect of the game other than the score. And right now, this Ranger team, as they get ready for a game 4 tonight at 8 o'clock to try and put a stranglehold on this series 3-1, this is going to be a very difficult game to win. They understand that. Game 3 was a very difficult game to win. But right now, they are getting it from all angles. And Rempe played. We'll see if Rempe plays again. I don't know how much of a difference he makes, but we all know the record when he plays and everybody's happy he's out there. I mean, they hide him in the third period because that's what the coach is going to do when you play him. It's kind of like just giving up a roster spot. I've been complaining about that forever. I'm done complaining about it. I don't care if they play him or not. Because ultimately, although he might have, I mean, it's certainly from the hits early on in the game, it didn't feel like Florida was looking over their shoulder because the big bad Matt Rempe was on the ice. And we understand Trouba takes the penalty for the elbow. Got fined $5,000. To me, that's a hockey play, but he gets, I don't think it's a major, he gets the 4 minutes for it and the other penalty. And then right then, that's where they score the shorthanded goal, and at least take a brief advantage before that third period. But yes, Igor Shesterkin's been the best player on the ice, and here's the issue. As much as I can crow about, hey, when they fall behind, there's no fear. When they blow a two-goal lead in the third period, there's no fear. When they hit into overtime, they know now that they are 4-0 in this playoffs when they are heading to overtime. And they understand no matter how they're being outplayed, no matter how it's going, at any moment, this Ranger team will make the play that gets it done. But here's the problem I have with this Ranger team and what I'm looking for moving forward. Igor cannot be the only great Ranger player who's going to play great. It's nice to have Goodrow be this unbelievable postseason player, have 6 goals so far, play great. Lafreniere is becoming that player, right? He's emerging to being one of the names that we are forced now to mention with his play and that unbelievable highlight reel goal. And it's really, he's been, for me, one of the great stories of this Rangers season because there was a lot of discussion around him as he headed into this season about his future, about him and Kaapo Kakko, who was a healthy scratch in game 2 and then came back and was integral in the game-winning goal in overtime for game 3. But Lafreniere has obviously been the number one overall pick. He has struggled to find his footing with this Ranger team over the first couple years of his career, and this was a make-or-break season for Lafreniere. And he started it immediately. At the beginning of the season, he set a tone for how he was going to play all year long, and right now, he has been a force in this entire playoffs, not just this Panther series. He was great in game 3 with 2 tremendous goals, including an absolute highlight reel, both on the backhand. And now he's forcing his name into the conversation of the Panarins, of the Zibanejads, of the Chris Kreiders, of the Trocheks. But those guys, you cannot, as much as it's a positive, right? Because we talk about this with all the different teams, we've talked about it. With the Knicks, we talked about it during the playoff series, at least the beginning of that Philadelphia series. Hey, they're winning these games without Brunson doing much. He's off to a slow start, and yet they still have a 2-0 lead, winning the first 2 in Madison Square Garden, blah, blah. Hey, listen, if they can't beat you then, if they can't beat you when your best players aren't playing well, I mean, that eventually it's going to happen. And while, you know, you could lean on the idea of Brunson going out there and scoring 40 points, I'm not sure if you could just lean on the idea that suddenly, not having scored a goal this entire series, that all of a sudden Panarin's going to show up. All of a sudden Zibanejad's going to get on the scoring sheet. All of a sudden Kreider, who really hasn't done much since his heroics of game 6 against the Carolina Hurricanes. These guys need to step up. And while it's nice, yes, like I said, to get from Goodrow. Yes, when Wennberg gets you the game-winning goal in overtime. It's nice to get scoring from up and down the lineup. We talk about the four lines. That's why I talk about Matt Rempe, because I don't think he's helping to make the best four-line team that the Rangers can roll out there. I don't believe it. I want the best four, and we've talked about it and how important it is and the scoring they need to get from it and the consistency they need up and down the lineup. And if the penalties certainly are going to be favored in the side of the Florida Panthers as they were in Game 3, it's going to be very difficult. And you're going to have to find scoring from, you know, your penalty kill is going to have to be great. And without getting any penalties, you're going to have to find some scoring 5-on-5. And they've done a nice job, and doing it throughout the lineup is nice. But if this team is going to get through, if they are going to continue to win while being outplayed, and as much as I'll downplay it and tell you I'm tired of apologizing, I'm not blind. And we see what's going on. And that third period, they got their asses kicked. And what you love about the team is they can get their asses kicked for the last 15 minutes of the third period and then come out there and be the better team in overtime and get the game winner. And that's what they've done. No moment has been too big. No deficit too big. No blown lead too devastating. They're able to go out there and play their game, never get overwhelmed, and rely on what they've done this entire postseason. And we talk about what the, you know, how losing some games could help, right? That was a big talk after taking a three games to none lead against Carolina. You want some adversity. You don't want to just go right through this thing. Well, they faced adversity in that Carolina series where they are literally a period away from forcing a game 7 and Kreider and his heroics. And they're facing adversity as they're being outplayed and shut out 3-0 in game 1, putting, you know, goals in themselves. Being in overtime, game 2, staring at an 0-2 deficit, heading to Florida in face, and then obviously game 3. They faced adversity. They faced getting their asses kicked. They faced being the lesser team and the weaker team for long stretches of the game. And yet they know how to come out on top, and they will make the big play when they need to. But that is a difficult thing to continue for 7 games, or however many games this thing goes. Eventually, as we look forward, as we put away Game 3 and the excitement and the joy, and we look to now tonight, Game 4, 8 o'clock, this Ranger team, it's nice to get by with Goudreau scoring goals. It's nice to get by with Lafreniere being their most explosive player. But that's not how you draw it up. And again, I'll say it because I say it a lot. I'm big on strengths being your strength. And if you are going to take on a Florida team that is now going to come out desperate tonight in Game 4, if you are going to take on a Florida team that has thoroughly outplayed you in, I don't know, 75% of these first 3 games, despite the Rangers leading 2-1, if you are going to come out and put a stranglehold on this series and taking both of these games in Florida, you are going to need your strengths to be your strength. And that is Panarin scoring goals. That is Zibanejad scoring goals. That is Chris Kreider creating havoc in front of the net and scoring goals. You can't rely on Lafreniere's incredible talent and unbelievable plays to get you through. You can't rely on being the team where the puck bounces in the right way in overtime. You've done it 4 times already. These guys have got to step up. And so while we're all thrilled, while we're all happy, and while I won't apologize for having Igor being the best player on the ice despite the rest of the team not playing as well as the Florida Panthers, while I'm tired of feeling like, whoo, we stole one there because the Rangers took it to them when they needed to. And in the third period, their goalie stood on his head, which, hey, I don't know, is part of hockey. So while I won't apologize, and while I'm proud of this Rangers team for constantly battling adversity, and while I'm proud of this group up and down the lineup and getting scoring from places you didn't think you'd get it. I mean, Wenberg's second goal as a Ranger. He scored 1 goal in the regular season. Despite the idea that those kind of things are good signs for me in series when you get scoring from those places. And ultimately, you knew you would have to get some scoring from those places if you were going to beat Florida. But you need it from the guys you need it from. So at some point, despite being up 2-1, despite feeling great about this Ranger team, the guys are going to have to show up tonight. You need goals from Panarin. They can't be negatives on the ice. They can't be minus plus minus here. They have got to be your guys. And unless Igor is just going to deny any team, Florida, Dallas, Edmonton, whoever they play, If he is just going to say, we're not losing, that's great. But he's going to need some help, and he's going to need it from the top line. He's going to need it from his big-time players. He's going to need it from the guys who have led them there all year long. And it starts tonight. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So we'll start with the Rangers and the Garden Party. And how amazing Sunday was in the middle of our, you know, barbecue. I admit I had to start the game late. I'm at the pool with the kids. Then we were barbecuing. I started the game late. I hate that. But you do it as dad on a holiday weekend. But right in the middle of our Sunday, we had an absolute, in just a thrill fest of a game. Obviously, all the different elements, we'll get to it. The Trouba hit, which I don't believe, I don't agree that it's a non-hockey play. I see those elbows go left and right. I don't want to hear about the embellishment, though. Let's be totally honest. I understand that that Evan Rodriguez probably did not need to lay on the floor like that, lay on the ice like that for forever, and it probably was a little bit of embellishment. But you know what? Don't throw elbows to the head if you don't want people getting in having some embellishment. That's all the game. It was a hockey play, and so was getting knocked in the head with a elbow and laying on the floor a little bit too long. But ultimately, that penalty led to a shorthanded goal. But the penalty kill has not been as good. The power play has not been as good. So if you really think about it, it's crazy to think of. Like, as we head into game four, and we need a lot of these things to change if the Rangers are going to continue winning in this series, let's be honest. But if you think about it, to be up 2-1 against a team that's pretty much thoroughly outplayed you for most of the series, the PK and the power play have not been as good as it was prior in the other series. You've struggled in that department. And no scoring from Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, and yet they're up 2-1. So let's take it as the same philosophy. We took it with the Knicks, and let's say it's a good thing, and that can't be like that forever, and that these guys are eventually going to step up. The power play is going to get going. And you're going to get the big-time goals from the big-time players and the big-time moments, because that's what this Ranger team has done all year long.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it at shortstop. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. How we doing on this Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend? As the unofficial kickoff of the summer. Unfortunately, I was unable to get there on Friday. It looked like a blast. Everybody had fun. I saw Loogie dressed up like the Stanley Cup. Tiki had a shirt off. Gio draped in the American flag. Looked like a good time. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I took my son to his prom, which was funny. He had a nice little bow tie on. They danced. You know, they didn't. It was nice. The things you got to do. But hopefully everyone had a great weekend. And the Rangers, who took the last time since we spoke, I guess, two games. Both in overtime. 4-0 now in overtime. But I do think, looking forward, a lot of times it's easy to say, hey, you're doing it without this, you're doing it without that. Eventually that's going to change. I got to see it. We've got to get some scoring. They've got to get some scoring from the bigger guys. They've got to figure out a way to get Panarin involved. They have to figure out a way to get Zibanejad on the score sheet. They just have to. They just have to. And it starts tonight. And I'm looking forward to it. And even if, you know, listen, it's still going to be a... This is a hard game to win. This is a very difficult game to win. At home, this Florida team is going to be desperate. I mean, Igor played incredibly well in that third period. I mean, it's just the barrage. He was just absolutely just, you know, they were all over him. He was just completely assaulted, for lack of a better term. I mean, and just an incredible job. And if he's going to play like that, if he's going to be the best player on the ice, then you know they've got a legitimate chance to win no matter how it goes. But they're going to. That's hard to ask of Igor over and over again. And while the scoring was there, they scored 5 goals in this game. 4, you know, a couple of nice goals, a shorthanded goal. Goodrow's been incredible. Lafreniere's been incredible. So it's not like they're not scoring goals, but they got to get it from the guys you expect it from. It's very important. It's nice. You can get through a couple of games. But ultimately, if they're going to win this series, you're not going to get through this series with Kreider, Zibanejad, and Panarin not scoring anything. They're just not. So they got to figure it out, and it starts tonight. Let's get to the calls. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, C-Mac. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not bad. So real quick, piggybacking off of the kickoff this summer, yeah, I kind of missed you last couple of years hearing you with the singing down there.
I know.
Not hearing it this year is kind of like a
I know. You know, it's funny, too, because, like, nobody reached out to me at all. And I'm not blaming people because they got their own stuff and nobody's out to make sure I'm going. But, like, nobody, I didn't get an email. I didn't get a text message. I didn't get anything about, hey, you're coming down. And then
they blew it with that one, man.
And then, well, I'm just saying. And then morning of, all of a sudden morning of, I'm getting, oh, you're coming down? What do you mean you're not coming down? I'm like, I mean, I'm busy. It would have been nice. I couldn't have made it no matter when you texted me.
But you only had a show to host at 12 in the morning.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The only way to do it, if I am going to do it, and hopefully both I still have a job and they do the thing next summer. So if we're in the same predicament, the only way for me to really do it is to leave here, you know, and maybe, you know, close my eyes here for a few and then head down there and then do it from there. I can't go home and come back. The drive from my house is just too far. And so what made it difficult this year is I had responsibilities with the kids. And most times I take them to school in the morning that Friday. Typically this year they had off except for this thing. They had an extra snow day. Most of the time, I think they're at school. So I would still have to go home, take them to school. I just don't know how I'll pull it off with the shift. But it was a great time. It's always been a great time. I had so much fun the previous 2 years. It was a blast to sing. And thank you very much for saying I was missed. No. I appreciate it.
You're good, man. Actually, real quick, I'll get to Rangers in a second. But I had a day off from school on Friday, too. It was kind of kicking myself because we had it mapped out. We had to go. We went to go see some family upstate, but we had it mapped out. Like teachers at a workshop or something. I mean, I'm only able to stay like noon or something because I think you gotta be over 21 because of the DJs. Like afternoon,
right.
Start serving the alcohol. So I would only been there for B&G, but either way, no, it always looks fun down there. And I mean, listen, they put a show on. So anyway, Rangers. Obviously, you brought up Igor. I mean, listen, you know, number 31 at this point, he deserves a key to the city, man. I mean,
he's been tremendous.
All the years, and I brought up sometimes, you know, listen, when this guy's off his game, I think I even called you like December, January. he was as bad as could be, like no exaggeration. His low points are like Andre Pavlik-esque, but no, I'm not trying to exaggerate. When he's on it, it's on point, if not arguably a little better than Hank, dude. I know he gave up the four goals, but they were, you could have set up, you know, with sleeping bags in our zone.
Yep.
That's how much time they spent. It's like a 65 shot differential or something, dude.
No, it was crazy.
It was insane.
Yeah, no,
and,
it was crazy.
And, you know, the fact that I was even calling you a mid-Carolina series, I mean, guys like Panera and Mika, I mean, you know, they showed up against Washington was one thing. You know, and it's been a recurring thing, Panarin with the 1 point last year. I mean, they got to stop, you know, turning into Casper the Friendly Ghost this time of year. I mean, you look at Panarin, the year he had, it means nothing. It means something, obviously. They don't get here.
No, but I hear what you're saying.
Yet, but,
no, of course.
Right.
They're not playing these games at home, if not for Panarin. There's no doubt.
No, obviously. He had an awesome year. We're talking about, you know, he's an MVP finalist, if it's not for the talent around the rest of the league. But, you know, you can't rely on guys like Barkley Goodrow who turn into Pavel Bure all of a sudden.
You can't.
I mean, that should be, you know, in addition. You shouldn't be relying on him. And, you know,
100%.
Lafreniere, Trocheck, and the only two top six to show up. And, you know, one last thing before you move on. Wenberg, you know, obviously him and Rostovic, you expected a little more. I'm not saying they're like, you know, Kane and Tarasenko. They were obviously brought in to be depth, but even then they still kind of been underwhelming.
Right.
Wenberg with the goal. And I saw the stat. I don't know if you know Statboy Steven on Twitter. He put something out. This Wenberg OT winner is kind of an ESPN stat, but the last time a trade deadline ad had an OT winner on the road in the conference finals was Stefan Matteau, Game 3 in 1994.
He
had the two OT winners. Everybody remembers 7, but you know, 30 years later, you want to drag this 94 connection thing, OJ and everything along. You just add that to the list. But hey, man, they got to get it going. Top six, you know, you get the puck luck and everything now, but you know. They need some guys to show up.
Well, anyway, appreciate you got it, buddy. Thank you, man. I 100% agree with you. You can't rely on Goodrow. You can't rely on this, on the scoring from, you know, the bottom of the lineup. You have to, the top six have got to be there. I completely agree. And Igor has been incredible. And I got to give it, I want to give it to the, I want to thank or at least give props to two people for this Igor performance. And it's the coach and it's Quick. Because Quick was terrific this year as a backup goalie. They already re-signed him for next year. He was as good as you could possibly be. He was terrific. Every single game, I mean, he was, and there was a stretch where he was playing better than Igor, and Igor struggled, and I was all over him. I think, you know, not to, you know, toot my own horn or pat myself on the back, I was on the Igor struggling train long before anybody else was, and before they were benching him around the All-Star break. I did not like what I saw from Igor. I did not like the obviously the games he was playing, the way he was playing. Also, it just looked like he looked, I don't want to say disinterested, but it was just I didn't love what I saw from Igor Shesterkin at parts of this season. And Quick was able to give him a lot of time off, and then clearly the coach coming out of the All-Star game and giving him that day's rest, more than days, giving him, you know, three or four games on the bench, to the point where the fan base, if we forget, as he's holding off the barrage of Florida Panthers in the third period, remember, many of you wanted Quick to just play. And I still hear calls that Quick should play a game or two. I still hear calls that people, this makes no sense to me, just for a second, indulge me. I hear calls that say, you got to this point all year long, you won the President's Trophy by, you know, giving Quick a couple of games here and there and spelling Igor. I mean, why do you stop what you're doing now? Why would you not play? He's the best goalie in the league. As much as I love Quick and I'm giving him credit here, I'm not playing Quick in the playoffs. Stop. So please don't let me hear that again. I know I might be speaking to a minor few. Not many people are asking for that. But I hear calls that actually suggested it. This guy's the best. He is, and I'll say it. His season 2 or 3 years ago when he won the Vezina was better than any season Hank had. It just was. And when he's at the top of his game, I mean, he's better than Hank at the top of his game. Now, he's got to show years of being consistent to fully stamp that. But that's how good this guy is. And I'm watching Hank in the post game talk about his ability to lock in. And you can sense it. You really can. You can feel it. Like, once the game is underway, like, he lets off the soft goal in game one early on. Like, he's not immune to soft goals or having moments where you're surprised he didn't do that, or certainly in this series, misplaying the puck. So, I mean, that's all part of it. He's not perfect by any stretch. But you just got a sense in that third period, he wasn't going to give up a goal. It was going to take a crazy deflection. And let's be honest, one of the goals is off Lafreniere's stick. The other one's off a skate in game three there. Like, a lot of the goals are fluky if you're going to get it past them. Not everyone, but a lot of them. I mean, when he locks in and you can sense it and you can feel it, and the Rangers, the opponent, the crowd, whether it be home or away, all feel it. You can feel it watching it on TV. He's not going to let in. He's going to stop everything. He's been incredible. He really has. He's been great. And he's as good, as far as I'm concerned, when he's playing his best, he's the best goalie in the league. And you heard Hank talk about it. You even heard Gretzky talk about it. That he's able to predict and have a feel for what shot is coming more than any other goalie in the league. And whether it's because I was just watching the post game before, whether it's how high he stands in his stance before getting into the, you know, how much he sees the ice or whatever the case may be, he has great anticipation, he has great vision, and he has great skill. And he makes it very difficult. And he's been incredible. And right now, he is the reason they are leading 2-1. There is no doubt about it. He is the reason. Because we know who it's not. And that needs to change. Bob in Queens. What's up, Bob?
What's up? Hello. Love the show.
Thank you, Bob.
If the Rangers won a game without their best players, so apparently they're the best players going to step up, and we stole a game. So now all the pressure's on the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. The pressure's on the Panthers for this game four. This is a must win for them. They can't fall behind 3-1.
Yeah.
No, this.
And let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We got winner take all game. Winner take all game type three. You got 5 minutes left in the third period. Eager or like Lundqvist to like make a big save.
You would have to show me how the game was being played, because if Igor is playing well, then I would say Igor. Just cold, I don't know how it's going. I mean, I've just seen it from Hank so many years. But if you tell me Igor's been playing great and, you know, was in that zone like he was in the third period, I'll take Igor third period of game three over any stretch I've ever seen Lundqvist. And I know that's not fair, and it's recency bias in some ways. I'm sure it is. I'm sure I could find a stretch where he was as good. But there's something about him, man. There's something about this guy when it's in that, because that was just an absolute barrage. They were getting dismantled. And he was just incredible. So, it depends. But right now, I don't have to make that decision. It's Igor. And as good as Bobrovsky's been in this series, I'll take Igor.
Another 2 minutes.
Hello there, Mo in Parksville.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to tell you your show is awesome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I tend to agree.
About Shesterkin, I wanted to say, number one, who would want to pull him? Look what he's done. He's got us all the way to this point.
No, I know. It's crazy. I mean, you hear fans just talk about, like, and it hasn't been recent, but like the idea that you got this far, mixing in quick, why would you stop now? I heard a couple calls say that and talk about giving Igor a break. You know, that's crazy talk. I have no idea why.
The way you win is now in the clutch.
This is it. I mean, this guy has been absolutely unbelievable, and he is the reason. I heard a couple calls. It's probably the minority, but it's definitely the minority. I don't think many people feel that way. But I heard a couple calls with Keith, I think, talking about it. Just drove me nuts. But, Igor has been incredible. And he's the best player on the ice. He's the reason they have the lead they have. He is, I mean, when he's like this, and that's the fear, right? The fear was he's had moments where he wasn't like this earlier this season. He had shaky moments in previous playoff series. specifically against Pittsburgh 2 years ago, even though they made it through that series. Like, there's been moments, and he's had a couple of moments where he's misplayed the puck. I mean, that second goal in game one of this series, he goes out to play a puck he doesn't need to play, and then just throws it up against the boards. It doesn't go anywhere. And it leads to that second goal. He's been afraid to stop the puck and go to. He's trying to keep every puck in play sometimes when it makes no sense. So like he's been a little weird, but ultimately, I mean, you can't get one past him in the big moments here.
Yeah. Also, my other point is I think Rangers in five, and I think Kreider's going to have another crazy one.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'd be shocked.
Another break loose.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I'd be shocked if this thing goes five. I got to be totally honest with you, Ranger fans. I'll be shocked if they win this game. I mean, I'm confident as confident can be. I think they are going to win this series, and I think they have an excellent chance to win the Cup. I love this team. I do. I love this team. I know, beyond just where we are in the Garden Party and how many games, it's also just been two of the more likable teams with the Knicks and the Rangers, and I know I've compared them a couple times here, but it's just so hard not to. What we've been going through, watching, you know, the Pacers get, you know, blown out by the Celtics and get swept in that series, and you just, man, I don't know if they would have beat the Celtics, but they would have given a better go. The freaking Pacers get lucky in multiple series again, losing all these, you know, going up against these teams that are devastated by injuries. But, I mean, as you look at these two teams, not only did they give us these great games, not only did they give us these exciting games, not only did we have all this fun and have stars and people who connect with this city and these fan bases so much in the way maybe Igor is now and obviously Brunson has. It's not just the winning. It's not just the series. It's that these teams are freaking likable. These teams play hard. These teams never quit. Like, both of these teams, you know, the Knicks really exemplify that kind of, you know, there's more skill maybe all around from the Rangers, and they were a better team throughout the whole year, and they were healthier, and there was a little bit, they didn't need to be as, you know, tough and gritty and dogs as the Knicks needed to be to win. They can beat you different ways, but they have that in them. They absolutely have that in them. And this is a fun, likable team. There's no doubt about it. This is a team you fall in love with. It's a team that's been great all year. You have a bunch of, you know, you have stars, you have guys who love playing for this team, you have, you know, battlers, and you got the Criders of the world who've been here forever. You got the top overall prospect, you know, flourishing before our very eyes, the number one pick in Lafreniere. You've got arguably one of the better players in all the league and should be nominated for a Hart Trophy in Panarin. You've got everything. You got a coach who came in and made a difference and had an impact instantly. Like, there's been a lot. There's a lot to this team to love. And there's a lot to this team to have confidence in. And there's a lot to this team to have faith in. But they're not perfect. And I will be surprised. Because let's be fair. They've been outplayed in this series. All right? I'm tired of apologizing for it. And I'm tired of saying, oh, they stole one. Because you know what? The goalie played great. How many times since we're mentioning Lundqvist, how many times in the Lundqvist era did they play a team they were better than and play better than and then, you know, couldn't get a goal because suddenly they were having the goalie was unbelievable and they would lose 2-1. Having Igor play great is part of who the Rangers are. So I'm not going to say they stole one because I don't like that terminology because they played great. They scored 5 goals. They played well enough to win despite the Panthers outplaying them. There's no denying it. The Panthers had the better of the action. The Panthers were much more in the zone than the Rangers were, and the shots are ridiculous. The shot attempts, at least, are ridiculous. But that doesn't change the fact of how great these games have been and how much we've fallen in love with this team. But like, they've been outplayed. You can't deny that. So for me, this is a very tough game to win. When you're talking about a desperate Florida Panther team, you're talking about they cannot lose this game. It's as close to a must win as you can get without an elimination. They cannot fall down 3-1 and head back to Madison Square Garden. Can't do it. They absolutely need to win. They've been the better team in the series despite being down 2-1. I think that's fair to say. They've gotten their power play going a little bit. and they are going to come out in front of that home crowd that, yes, is full of Ranger fans, no doubt. But they're going to come out at home desperate to get a victory. This is going to be a very tough game to win. But I will tell you what, if they do win it, this will tell me everything you need to know about the New York Rangers. If the Rangers win this game, then they can do anything. Like that, this is, to me, Florida is as good an opponent as Dallas or Edmonton. Florida is a hungry team. Florida is a desperate team. Florida's been the better team in this series. And if they still come out under all those circumstances, and whether it's Igor standing on his head, a couple of fluke goals, or the Rangers' power play dominating, or whatever the case may be, however they get this victory, if the New York Rangers win this game, it's obvious to say, and I'm not going out on much of a ledge, that I think they'll win the series. But furthermore, I don't see anybody beating them. Like, it's one of those games where if you win this one, who's going to stop you? What game are you going to lose if on the road, game four, against a team that's been kicking your ass for a lot of it, who's in a desperate situation to try and even up this series? If you still come out and win that game and Igor gets you there, ain't nobody stopping him. Tell you that right now. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. I'm watching the highlights of Bill Walton here, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 71 after a long battle of cancer. Long battle with cancer, excuse me. Obviously, I've never met Bill, but I mean, one of the great characters in sports. I mean, one of the great, just have fun. You could take not take what he says seriously, but he's just so, like, I don't think of him as much as he was a great player, and obviously I never saw him play. But the college career with UCLA, his early career with the Portland Trailblazers, and then even being the sixth man on arguably one of the great teams to ever play basketball with the Celtics. But as a commentator, yeah, I mean, listen, he knew what he was talking about, but it was just so much fun. And he was such a great storyteller, and he had so much fun with it. And it just felt like you were in for a good time. Like, he was that guy to me. When you turned on a basketball game and Bill Walton was doing the color commentary, it was just, you were in for a good time. He was going to make you laugh. He was going to say something dopey. He was going to make you scratch your head. He was going to give you something philosophical. He was going to, you know, that's who he was. He was a true character. And, you know, obviously I've never seen him. I've worked with the great Mike Francesa for a long time, who he was on the show all the time, and Mike would constantly talk about how great of a player he was and what he could have been if he didn't have the injuries that he had and was hampered with. But a very sad day to hear the passing of Bill Walton, who was a lot of fun. Looking at him out there with the Celtics. Just a good guy, a lot of fun. The broadcasts were always great. He could tell a story, obviously. And you knew a lot about him, right? You knew he was a big Dead fan. He would travel the country seeing the Grateful Dead. He would give you a little something. He had a classic, unique voice. Just a lot of fun. And someone who enjoyed life. And 71 is far too young. And especially when, you know, when people pass who you know just enjoyed life and loved every second of it, it's just even a little bit sadder as he's wearing all his tie-dye shirts. The great Bill Walton. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the morning. We got plenty to do. We'll continue to take your Ranger phone calls as we get you ready for Game 4 tonight in Florida, 8 o'clock. And we'll get to the baseball teams. What to do with DJ LeMahieu when he comes back for the New York Yankees? Where do you play him? Where do you hit him? We'll get to it. Is this the best we've ever seen of Aaron Judge? Just might be. And then, of course, the Mets, who salvage the last game against the Giants with a come-from-behind victory. Who's their biggest clutch player? I'll tell you when we get back. And who's continued to struggle and had a really bad moment this weekend, as well as hearing from the owner again. We got so much baseball to do. It's beyond me.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over. Final Four. Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ah, the great Sam Rosen. And hopefully he's feeling better, and we'll be back on the call for Game 5 back in Madison Square Garden. We got a Game 4 tonight. Game 4. Rangers-Panthers. Rangers up 2-1. Need Igor to keep being Igor. Need the better players to get better. Need more from Panarin. Need more from Zibanejad. Need more from Kreider. As much as you might think Kreider's done enough, that all it takes is that one game. It's not. He's going to have to figure out a way to impact these games more. And we'll listen, and the one thing I'll say about, because I know I got a lot on the Rempe situation, is there something, you know, to the crowd being impacted by Rempe? Yes. I think there's something to it. And you can't deny their record with him. Now, their record without him is pretty damn good, but their record with him is what it is. But I'm sorry. I don't think he impacts the game. If you want to leave him in there, fine. I don't think it made that much of a difference. I don't think Florida. You know what the problem is? Yeah, they play Carolina and then they pay the Panthers. And obviously you got the Carolina Panthers. So it's like, I think Panthers, I say Carolina. I say Carolina, I think Carolina, I say Panthers. But I mean, I completely forgot my train of thought. I'm yelling about the Panthers. I don't know what the hell I was saying. Rempe, thank you very much. I just don't know. Yeah, he's impacted the team. He's impacted the game a little bit. But, I mean, you saw them flying. You saw them laying hits. You saw, I mean, they're not going to change their style of play because Rempe's out there. I never thought so. And while, you know, they've won these last two games, he's still being hidden in the third period. I don't know why. I don't think it's much of an impact one way or the other. I just don't. I want the best four lines, whatever that is. And I trust this coach right now to get a feel for this team. But for all you Rempe guys, if you think you've sort of won the argument that he needed to be out there, okay. Okay. But ultimately, it's not going to be about Matt Rempe. It's just not. I don't think he's got the secret sauce, as Sean Avery called it. I think the secret sauce has to rely and, you know, be with Panarin. He's got to bring the bread and the secret sauce. And Zibanejad and Kreider. And so this is the kind of game that's going to be very difficult to win. And they're going to have their best players perform. They are not going to get by having Goodrow and Lafreniere being the most dynamic offensive players on the team. As much as Lafreniere showed the ability to do so with that incredible goal. I mean, just an incredible goal to get to the front of the net from where he was and the defender being between him and the goal, being able to just get there, let alone get that backhand past Bobrovsky and then, you know, give him a nice boot to the face. To boot, pardon the terrible pun. I mean, that was an incredible goal, but they need better from others. 888-808. This is going to be a struggle for me as well, so stick with me. New number, 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get used to it. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock. 1 hour down of our 5-hour midnight ride. Four more to go. We'll get to baseball. We'll still take your Rangers calls if you make them, but we're going to get to baseball. Anthony Volpe and his hit streak. Does he have to stay at leadoff? How good is Aaron Judge? And with the Mets, who do we sell, and why wasn't Lindor swinging?